Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, do you even go to movie theaters anymore?
Every once in a while I'll show up. Yeah.
How do you cope with the sounds? And not the sounds of the movie, obviously, but the sounds of your fellow moviegoers consuming all sorts of snack items and opening cellophane containers and then slurping on drinks and stirring around ice at the bottom of a container till you just want to lose it.
That's actually me who's making all the ruckus.
Why do you have to have so many snacks?
Because it's expensive at the movie theater. It's much more economical just to bring your own.
So you're not even buying, you're sneaking it in.
I'm sneaking it in. And of course, for some reason, when you sneak it in, it's much louder. Have you noticed this? Or maybe because playing by the rules.
Yeah, I'm playing by the rules. I'm not sneaking stuff in.
Well, for some people, it not only just bothers them, but it could possibly incite them to violence, this sound.
That's right. I mean, I get upset by these noises, but I'm not actually driven mad by them.
So you're not the person who threw the popcorn bucket at me?
No, that was not me.
Okay, thank you.
No, I threw the gobstoppers. Yeah.
Yeah. Lamb.
Yeah. But I mean, come on, it was a death scene and you were eating popcorn.
I know, but when I'm, you know, when things get tense, that's when I really go for the snacks.
See, that's just it. I mean, okay, so it's not to put off the topic too much, but yeah, it's like it'll be like some sort of like really serious thing happening on the screen. It's one thing if it's a comedy or a kid's film. It's like, I get it. You know, it's a good time. Let's eat some popcorn. But eating popcorn while you're watching people die and bloody deaths on the screen, it's weird.
Sorry. It really isn't. I commonly will eat dinner watching True Blood, and I would like to hear from other people who are watching intense scenes and turn to food. I feel like I'm not the only one out there.
Okay, I guess. But
all right.
I mean, okay, I have eaten during True Blood as well, but still, I'm not thinking like, oh, okay, here comes another sex scene, pass the lasagna.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about sex scene.
Oh, just the violence.
Yeah, I'm not talking about like, it's not Seinfeld here and I like need to eat a sub and watch a sex scene. Anyway, we should really get back to the matter at hand, which is the sounds, the subtlest sounds that we hear, the crunching of leaves under our feet that herald fall, which I think is a beautiful sound, could drive some people really bananas. And in fact, it does.
Just the mere crunching of leaves.
Yes, the sound. Or maybe even just someone with sniffles or even breathing.
Yeah.
Right? This is something called misophonia, and it means dislike of sound or hatred of sound.
Yeah. Now, I feel like we all have levels of this outside of the movie theater even. I find that gum chewing is affects me on at least a small level to where if someone else is chewing gum, it kind of annoys me.
Yeah.
But if I'm chewing gum too, then I don't notice.
Well, this is interesting that you say that because Misophonia UK is a support group and they say that there's something called the continuum theory. And the suggestion is that everyone has an intolerance to sounds to varying degrees in various environments due to any number of factors, which is kind of what you're talking about.
Like you're trying to watch a movie, you're trying to focus on something.
Yeah.
Or like sometimes it's like, I wish I was chewing gum. Why are you chewing gum?
Yeah, your mind is distracted.
Yeah.
And according to this theory, people presenting with clinical misophonia simply have a stronger reaction to various sounds than the general population. But they say that this is not necessarily true because people with misophonia they have an emergence of a very clear set of symptoms that are different from just saying, you know, that's distracting or annoying.
Right. It's generally the kind of thing that they don't have control over.
Yeah.
Because I can't, you know, it's like me getting upset over someone having gum, it kind of depends on my mood, whether it's actually going to irritate me or not. And it's one of those things that if I stop and think about it, I can be like, stop being a jerk. You know, don't get bent out of shape over somebody chewing gum. That's ridiculous. But people who are actually suffering from this condition, they don't have really any choice in the matter. It's an involuntary thing.
Right.
And they end up having to like structure their lives around it, realizing, you know, I can't actually go out and have dinner with people. Because or maybe it's like, I can't stand crunching, so only soup. Or people who are like, I can't stand soup slurping, so only nachos.
Or, I mean, there have been plenty of cases documented in which people were saying, I can't eat in the same room with as my spouse because he's driving me nuts with his chewing. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, this actually affects relationships, jobs. It's been called a Cinderella diagnosis because it's a medical condition that attracts not so much professional interest. There's not a lot of awareness or research funding, but it's definitely one of those things that has come to people's attention because of the internet, because so many people have found each other and said, I actually suffer from this, and it's something that's impairing my life.
Yeah, and a lot of these, a lot of people were suffering from misophonia. Were misdiagnosed too over time. As frequently misdiagnosed as different phobic disorders, obsessive compulsive disorders, bipolar, manic disorders, anxiety disorders, and so a lot of people ended up going through a number of treatments that weren't actually addressing the problem.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about why we think it's happening, but I think it's really interesting to talk a little bit more about some of these triggers.
Yeah, like I mean, we can all get. I think like the gum chewing or the or the noisy eating kind of thing to a certain extent, but then it's other things too, like the explosive P in some words, you know, like you can't stand to hear somebody use P words.
Perfect. Like that would drive someone just to an apocalyptic. Fit.
The apocalyptic platypus perfected its persona. You know, like that kind of sentence would just drive people up the wall.
It would in S sounds too.
Yeah.
Super. And even laugh tracks.
Well, those are annoying.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And then, of course, you talked about the breathing thing, coughing, sniffling, plastic bag rustling, water pouring.
Really? Water pouring?
Water pouring.
Huh.
Chewing, kissing. Yeah. I could see the kissing thing, because if that got really, you know, smacky, that could be, especially if you're not like the kissy kisser.
What if using it as a cat noise? Like, you know, like... You know, to get the cat to come up. That's the noise we use with our cat. So
I'm not judging.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah. Any sort of subtle noise really is the problem here.
Yeah. I read that even footsteps.
Yes.
Which if you're in a museum, my wife and I were at, and a friend went to the High Museum here in Atlanta recently, and somebody like, I understand, you know, you're going out to a museum. Sometimes you want to wear fancy footwear. I get it. But, you know, test the footwear before you go to a quiet museum because somebody had like the loudest clomping. I don't know if they're like wooden shoes or something, but it was just like ka-thunk, 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 you know, while everybody's trying to look at art.
Yeah, squeaky shoes in the office, that's always a problem. I will say that's not a misophonia thing, but I'm pretty sure that everybody has their own sort of like office.
Really? Because my shoes, I think, kind of squeak.
Yeah, mine are definitely squeaking
today.
Which
is weird because they're nice shoes and, you know, it's not, I'm not wearing jellies or anything.
Really? Those aren't jellies?
No, they're not jellies. They're just really purple.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're fetching. But I mean, there's all sorts of auditory things that, and of course we're talking about more subtle things, but we all understand this on some level. If you've ever had an office mate that was clipping their nails in the office in the morning when it was quiet, then you can maybe understand what it would be like for someone with misophonia to sort of erupt in their emotions. And this is from audiologist Dr. Marcia Johnson. She says what they experience is kind of a Mount St. Helens eruption of emotions and feelings associated with these sounds. So it's not just like, man, that's annoying. It's actually on a scale of like 0 to 10. They've got a scale of someone actually acting on this. And we'll talk a little bit about this in a bit.
Now, there are a couple of other related kind of sound irritation phenomenons that we've also encountered. One is called hyperacusis, which is a health condition characterized by oversensitivity to certain frequency ranges of sound. And then there's another one that's particularly interesting called autophonia. And this involves and is characterized by an overloud hearing of your own voice.
Yeah, and this is actually part of misophonia, right?
The
audiophonia is the intolerance of the sound of one's own voice, which has got to be awful, right?
Yeah, there was an account I was reading. It took place back in 1985. You had this British-born French horn player. So living in Germany, 35 years old, played the French horn, which I have played the French horn, by the way. not very well, but I played it. And anyway, so he's living in Germany, and one day he's practicing his French horn, and something feels different. It's like he can hear the noise inside his skull.
Mm-hmm.
He said that it was like he was playing the horn inside his brain, and he thought it was going to go away. You know, he's like, all right, well, this is, you know, take a nap and I'll get over it. But it just continued and continued, and it got stronger and stronger. He was having involuntary eye movements caused by sound. At one point, he was waking up in the night because he heard mice. He mm-hmm. thought he heard mice moving around.
Yeah.
He was hearing the sound of his eyelids, his eyes moving against his eyelids. So, and eventually he had to stop playing the French horn, but they were able to settle down, really diagnose this. And, they realized it had to do with the superior canal, this condition known as a superior canal dehiscence.
Mm-hmm.
Basically it revolves around the canals that are filled with fluid in the human ear. They're kind of like the little vials of fluid that you see in a level.
Okay. Sort
of, you know, they kind of, as the fluid moves, it lets the brain know that you're moving. And those were disrupted. It's a defect in the inner ear caused by the thinning of the bone that separates the superior canal from the brain. So in this guy's case, there's only this thin membrane between this fluid and his brain. So mm-hmm. it was basically touching his brain and transmitting all the sounds from his body right into his head.
Okay, so in this particular case of misophonia, which is sort of this autophonia subset of it, which is interesting because that's so specific, but for the general misophonia, which, by the way, one of the biggest triggers.
By the way,
they
were able to plug the hole and the guy was able to play. Happy ending.
Okay, good. And it's not you.
No, it's not me.
It's not you. Okay, yeah. Yeah, you said 35-year-old. I'm zipping out all the clues here.
I'm not quite
British, living
yet.
In German. Yeah. Yeah, okay, it's not you for sure. In any case, they're not necessarily hip to what exactly is going on in general misophonia. There is a neuroscientist by the name of Aj R. Moeller, and he's at the University of Texas at Dallas, and he believes the condition is hardwired like right or left-handedness and probably not an auditory disorder, but a physiological abnormality that resides in the brain structures activated by processed sound.
Okay.
So that's sort of a gobbledygook answer for we're not quite sure yet, but it's certainly an area that they keep looking at. And I keep thinking, V.S. Ramachandran has got to get on this, right? this is the guy who we talked about in Doppelgangers. And I feel like I need to send him an email and say, come on, let us know what's going on here. But as you said, though, it has been mistaken for other things. And just in a moment here, we're going to talk about the severity of reactions to this, not just annoyance, as we've talked about, but what happens inside people, inside their heads, and how they act out.
So we'll be right back right after this.
This podcast is brought to you by Intel, the sponsors of tomorrow, and the Discovery Channel. At Intel, we believe curiosity is the spark which drives innovation. Join us at curiosity.com and explore the answers to life's questions.
And we're back, so let's talk about it. What happens?
Okay. The reactions can include revulsion, rage, sadness, panic attacks, indecision, loss of cognition, physical itching or crawling sensations, urge to flee or fight. And this is really important to these last bits because it really is engaging the flight or fight response.
Uh-huh. So it's like they're hearing their friend slurp their soup and they're just overwhelmed by the feeling that they need to either punch them in the face or run out of the restaurant.
Yeah. And that's why they've got this scale, this misophonia action scale, 0 to 10, all these different sort of things that they do to try to alleviate themselves from this discomfort. And that can even lead to something called echolalia, mm-hmm. which is mimicking the offensive sound.
Oh, yeah. This is what I found really interesting because, I mean, on one level, this is a situation where if you let the condition or I don't want to imply that you know, people are completely in control of this situation, but in this condition. But on one level, you're wanting to distill it. You want to head it off because you don't want to punch your friend in the face or otherwise act like a jerk.
Right.
But some of the coping mechanisms could be misinterpreted as acting like a jerk because you're basically like mimicking an annoying sound. So it's like if someone were chewing their gum, I'm assuming you would have to start going like making a fake gum chewing noise.
You would actually get up in someone's face. This is the thing, right?
Yeah.
If your friend is, let's say that they're chewing and they're going.
I would hope they are a close understanding friend.
Right. You would get in their face and start going back at them. And right. You would hope that there would be that understanding of, oh, you just need to act this out in order to release your feelings.
Yeah. I would hope that not good practice for a blind date. But,
yeah, but of course this has been confused too with autism, right? Because this looks a little bit like autism, although mm-hmm. it has not been studied in terms of finding a link between autism and misophonia.
Right.
But you can understand how if you didn't have a context for this, you might be a little bit surprised as the person who is triggering this reaction in this other person. Another weird aspect of this is that some people will actually become sexually aroused when they hear a trigger. And that is because their overactivation of hormonal circuits during the rage panic stage are sort of dovetailing with the adrenaline and the noradrenaline. And, of course, that's involved with the flight or fight. And that's being sort of confused. And so a person can be sort of, I guess you would say, incidentally aroused by this. I don't know how common this is, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to think about because it really takes a soup slurping scenario and puts it into an even stranger place.
Well, and I was just thinking even something like the shuffling of papers.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Shuffling papers, that is kind of sexy. But
it could be. Yeah. It could be accidentally sexy. You know, we haven't always thought about that with the shuffling of papers. But if you've got misophonia. But what all this is pointing to is that it really is very uncomfortable for the person who's experiencing this, because this is an unwanted
sexual response. It's not, you know, it's easy to potentially make jokes here, but we're not really.
Right. This is actually something that if you're experiencing this, it's got to be awful, right? Because it's just sort of another added level of anxiety and the day-to-day push to just try to get through life.
It would be like, oh, I can't stand the sound of that. They're slurping their soup and great, now I'm aroused. Wonderful. And then you have to leave the restaurant.
Exactly. Yeah. So now you know why that person got up, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't you, but it was you. So how do you treat this? You know, this is the question. And this is something that they're still trying to uncover. Audiologists, actually, the physicians who practice this sort of medicine, audiological medicine, and they've tried some autogenic training like relaxation techniques, like self-hypnosis, mm-hmm. meditation, biofeedback. But there's not really a magic bullet here.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the regimens of treatment that are mentioned on the website, there are a number of things brought together. A lot of them sort of trained on looking at yourself and being cognitive of what's going on.
Yeah.
And being able to stop, which, I mean, to a certain extent, if you don't suffer from this condition and you get irritated, it's the sound of somebody chewing gum. That's a fine treatment there. Like, stop and think about what you're doing. But in this situation, the goal is to, all right, well, acknowledge that this condition is present.
You have to confront your feelings.
Yeah, confront the feelings. And that's just one of the steps you can take.
Yeah, apparently just avoiding them, trying to pretend like it doesn't exist, would actually exacerbate the condition.
Well, I tell you, it's a fascinating topic, and I couldn't help but think, possibly because we're about to get into Halloween shortly and talking about recording some Halloween themed episodes. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, do you think Edgar Allan Poe suffered from this? Because
the beating heart?
Well, there's the beating heart, where the guy keeps hearing the sound of a heart beating under the floorboards until, of course, he actually killed a dude, but eventually he just loses it and he's like, all right, tear up the boards. There's a heart beating under there and I can't stand it anymore. Take me to prison. But then there's the bells too, remember?
Oh.
With the, you know, keeping time in a sort of runic rhyme to the throbbing of the bells, bells, the sobbing of the bells, keeping time. You know, it's kind of like,
you were about to rap there.
Bells. Well, it's interesting.
Keeping time.
Folk singer, 60s folk singer Phil Oakes based a song on the bells.
Oh.
I'm not going to sing it, but people can YouTube that if they want to hear
a
musical version.
And I think we need a mix on it. That's what I'm hearing. I think there's some potential here. I don't know. Maybe Poe was trying to work this out. Maybe he had misophonia.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see. I just did a quick search, so I don't know if anyone has actually looked into it. But it would be interesting if it were the case. You know, it's like those are just two examples. So I'm not making a strong case for Edgar Allan Poe having this condition. But anyway, yeah, I couldn't help but think about it as we were researching it.
Yeah.
So
and I think it is interesting too that it is it's very own thing. It's not just someone that has the sound sensitivity. It's manifesting itself in a physiological way.
Yeah. So by all means, if you find yourself experiencing this in any way, shape, or form, consider going to a doctor about it. If it seems like it's a little stronger than just you get irritated at things, it's worth looking into.
Yeah, and also check out misophoniauk.org.
Yes.
It is a great resource.
Wealth of information.
Yeah, it really can help people to sort of better understand how difficult this is to live with.
Yeah, and there are absolutely no MIDI songs playing in the background of the website.
No,
which I thought was a very smart choice.
Yeah, yeah.
So, hey, we have a little bit in the way of listener mail here. First of all, and speaking of mixes, I had a listener on the Facebook page was I think I've mentioned a decision fatigue that I listen to a number of music and mix podcasts, and they were wondering what I listen to. And I listen to way too many way more than I should, and way too many to list here. But I can just mention a couple of, like, really good ones. There's one called Paris DJs, which is indeed out of Paris, France, and each week they'll put up a new mix that really runs the gambit from styles like funk and soul and a lot of world sounds. So if you're looking for more like kind of a lo-fi or a funky kind of vibe, that's a great podcast and well worth checking out. And they've been doing it for several years, so they have a big catalog, all of it free, of course. And then other podcasts I listen to, there's one called Allez, which is spelled A-L-L-E-Z. So it's A-L-L-E-Z dash A-L-L-E-Z. And they do a podcast each week that I really enjoy because it's kind of a it varies, too. I mean, there are different guys doing it each week for the most part. But there'll be some a nice mix of sort of new, cutting-edge sounds with some cool retro stuff. So I would recommend that.
And so when you say that this came out of a comment about decision fatigue, this was the whole thing about how sometimes we cede our decisions to other people because we're trying to clamp down our mental energy. And so if we've got something vetted, so there you go. You've got some vetted resources.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of thinking like, oh, what am I going to listen to for the next 2 hours? I can just go, well, Paris DJs generally does me right. LA generally does me right. So they have a new mix. I'm going to listen to that, and I'm not going to think about it. So that was the context of that. Let's see, other listener feedback that we received. We've received a lot of cool stuff about dreams. A lot of it is a lot longer than we have time to talk about. But we had one person, a listener by the name of Corey, who wrote in with experiences with, like, UFOs and a demon camp and shadow people that was pretty crazy. And what was one of the other ones?
We had a bunch of really cool ones.
Yeah, way more than we have time to mention, sadly. But I was really impressed with everyone's dream lives, scary that they were.
Yeah, and we got an email, a real short one from Jim, and he was talking about Cubed Earth,
yes,
which we recently did, mm-hmm. and we talked about Picasso and Cubism and sort of made a joke there, and he said, well, what if, you know, Picasso lived on the Cubed Earth? He would have invented Spherism.
Whoa.
Which I kind of love.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And I think so, we also had a couple of listeners that write in about Minecraft, which I've never played, so I don't have a lot of experience with this, but it's like a kind of a pixelized world where mm-hmm. you, like, mine stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think everybody's more or less familiar with it. If not,
and this is the cubed looking.
Yeah, it's like a cube-looking thing. Somebody sent in a picture of, like, a cubed planet that mm-hmm. someone had made in Minecraft, and that was pretty interesting. So if you guys have stuff you want to share with us, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. We are Blow the Mind on both of those. We'd love to hear from you, your experiences with irritating sounds. And even if you just have some cool studies or news items you want to share with us and the other listeners, let us know about them.
And you can also send us your thoughts via email at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow.